Amen.
Well, as I start with my first sermon, yeah, it's exciting, you know, new venue, new start, new adventures with God, and yeah, I feel like God has got a lot for us, a lot, like, waiting, like, just come, you'll see, it'll be fun, kind of thing. It's like I had said previously, it might look slightly different to what we're used to going forward. Because I would like to do, you know, some weeks you might do just worship, or some weeks you might do more like a interactive sort of Bible study or something like that. I don't think we have to be too prescriptive about how we do church. just starting with this new church, it reminded me a lot of Nehemiah's story. So today I'm going to preach about that. Nehemiah... basically the story starts with him, as this obviously in the book of Nehemiah 1. The story that I want to speak about is the story of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And it runs over quite a couple of chapters, so I'm just going to do the highlights package. So Nehemiah himself was just a layman, actually. He was the king's cupbearer in that time. So it was the king of the Medo-Persian Empire, Artaxerxes. Would you like to name your son that? Artaxerxes? Yes. So he's like hanging around in the citadel. Some friends of his come, and he asked, that have come from Judah, and he asked them about Jerusalem. And they tell him, oh no, it's really bad there. Jerusalem, the wall is still broken down, and they are basically, it's all in disarray, kind of thing. He says the town is like, it's a disgrace, and the people are basically in trouble and vulnerable because their main wall, their protective wall, is broken down. Now, the thing is, this wall has been broken down for like 72 years after the Babylonians invaded them, and they went into exile. And so this story of Nehemiah is actually the third group of exiles that they're bringing back to Jerusalem. So this is the third of the three groups that is going back. And only now, when he hears this, Nehemiah is like so touched, because this is his homeland, his home town. He starts like weeping and praying for the city and going like, God, this is not okay. These people of yours are now like vulnerable and are like in disgrace. So he himself prays, and God tells him, no, he should go and basically fix the wall. So because he has a bit of favor with the king, he's the king's cupbearer, he asks the king for provisions, and the king grants that because of the Lord's favor that's on him. So he goes there to rebuild the wall, and he has all the provisions that he needs. Side note, God's provision, what you need, you'll get. So we pick up the story there. The Nehemiah has just arrived in Jerusalem now. So in Nehemiah 2, verse 13 to 18, it says, by night I went out through the valley gate towards the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the wall of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then there's a whole bunch where he just says, he goes from this gate to this wall, to this wall, to this wall, but I pick it up again in 17, he says, then I said to them, to the people now of Jerusalem, then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. We see first here, Nehemiah assesses the situation. He looks like realistically and honestly at the situation. He doesn't like just ignore it and put his head in the ground and be like, oh no, things are fine, somebody's going to sort it out. It's like he takes it up himself and he says, you know, I want to sort this out. And then with faith and hope, he decides then what to do. He assesses the situation and he says, God has called me to do this. Let's do this. So yeah, at Trinity Central, we also want to look around honestly and say, what are we here for? What is God wanting us to do? What is the wall that we have to repair? What is the wall that you, in your own capacity, have to repair for this? And you don't have to have the answer straight away, but it's just being aware of that and going and looking out for it and finding a thing that burdens your heart and God lays on your heart and says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do whatever. Pray for this community. Reach out. Do whatever. You know, maybe it's inside Trinity Central. Maybe it's outside in the outside community, like around us. Maybe it's in your workplace or wherever. But people, like, and also it's like, you know, how you do that. Do it prayerfully. Do it with God. Go, God, what are you wanting me to do here? And the bottom line of it is, in the kingdom of, or in the world, most of the time what I see is people just need love, acceptance. People need hope and faith, something to, someone to believe in. And God is the only faithful, true God. So we have that faith, we have that belief, that excitement, that trust in God. We can share that as well with others and say, look at this God. He is the faithful one, whether that's inside or outside of Trinity Central. It's not about judgment and condemnation and people not living up to what we feel is the right standard. It's about God's standards and just loving those people beautifully. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40 says, where Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Simple. Simple Christianity. Love God. Love your neighbor. That's what it comes down to. Notice also what Nehemiah was saying here. He says, you see the trouble we are in. You see the trouble we are in. And then he says, come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. He takes ownership himself. He says, these are my people. This is my task. Let us do it. I was listening to a guy, another pastor, saying, you know, it's easy to pick up when people come and say, you know, you guys need to do X, Y, Z. And it's like, you know immediately that person's not going to be part of the solution. And so it's like when Nehemiah says, see the trouble we are in, he's putting himself in that with it. And so it's like when you take ownership, then we can be a part of that solution. And then also, Nehemiah then goes to each of the people in the community in Jerusalem, and he calls on them just to, like, they've got to just build their section of the wall. It's like you don't have to be tasked with everything, but there is a part for you. There is a part for each person to build. And so for you, let's take ownership of this church that you are a part of, because you are part of this body. It's not like you are a ring on the finger. You are the finger. You're part of the body. God has something for us to do here. I know that. I feel that. God has called us here for a reason. And we might not know that reason fully yet, but God does. And he just calls us to faithfulness. A lot of people through the Bible, God just called them and said, just go, and you'll figure it out. And so that's what we choose to believe. And then like it says in the last line in that section, it says, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. God calls us to good works. Like, let's just begin this good work. In chapter 4 then, there comes a bit of opposition though. And I'll pick it up from 4 verse 1. Then Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, one of the neighboring kings. Heard that we were rebuilding the wall. He became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the armies of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah, an Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? What they are building, even a fox climbing on top would break down their walls of stone." So we see here, like, only when they actually started building the wall did the opposition start. And it's like, they only when they decided, okay, we're going to do this, then the people started, like, ridiculing them and mocking them, and because they didn't want them to become a secure, strong nation like they used to be again. So they started ridiculing them, but it was only when they actually got going with their stuff. And so often with our Christian walk, it's only when we start doing our ministry that Satan's like, hey, what's happening here? Let me try and put a stop to this. And it's about just being, you know, resilient and being aware of that, aware of that opposition. And then also to keep going, because we know that as long as they, if they had to give up, they would live in peace. But if they know they're going, then they know they've got a battle to fight, but they've got God on their side. They've got victory in hand. So we can see through this chapter a couple of ways that, you know, Satan might attack us. And whether it's in a Trinity Central context or even in your own personal life, we see he attacks their identity. He says, what are those feeble Jews doing? It's like, what are you doing? Satan's going to come to you. What are you? You're nothing. What are you doing? Like, what are you trying here? And it's like, no, God has called me. He questions their ability. They say, will they restore their wall? Will they finish in a day? Like, will they restore their wall? Will you restore your wall? Do you think you can do this? It's like, do you have the ability to do this? Yes, you do. If God is calling you to do it, you've got the ability. He attacks the ability to accomplish the mission. They say, can they revive these burnt stones? And it's like, often we can feel inadequate about, you know, do I actually have the ability in myself to do this? And it's like, yeah, if God is calling, then you have the ability. You have the backing of heaven. And then lastly, he will attack the quality of your work. And it says, even a fox climbing up on it will break it down, will break down their wall of stone. And sometimes we can go like, you know, will this even make a difference? Is what I'm doing actually, you know, going to be worth anything? Is it going to do anything in the long term? Is it going to make any difference in the world? And it's like, yes, it will. It will make a difference. But we have to just be aware of these, like, condemning thoughts that's just trying to trip us up. When it's like, God has given us a task. God has given us a task to do. And we just keep focused on that. We trust in God to give us the ability that we need to do, that we have to do. So after these attacks from this mocking and these attacks from Sanballat and Tobiah, they like start protecting themselves. So half of them decide, okay, half of them are going to build the wall. The other half are going to stand as like security, basically. And then they will swap out and change. So Tobiah and Sanballat try to mess with them a couple more times in like the further chapters, two or three more times. But every time Nehemiah would just say, you know, I'm busy doing a good work. Leave us alone. Like, I'm not listening to your nonsense. Then he like starts accusing him of like, you know, you're trying to take over the kingdom and stuff. And we hear these rumors. And Nehemiah just says, those are just rumors. This is nothing like that is happening. And he takes no heed of it. He doesn't go and like address it with them or have meetings. They try and call him for meetings. And he's like, no, I'm busy with the good work. Like, so. And sometimes we have to just have that attitude. Just like, no, that's just a distraction from the journey that God has got me on. And so we just keep focused like Flint. Just keep running at that goal that God has called us to do. If it's not necessary to address it, even it looks like, then you just leave it. It'll sort itself out. God will sort it out for you. In chapter 4, it says, so the war was completed on the 25th day of Elul. in 52 days. So they were trying to rebuild this wall for 72 years and get in nowhere, basically. And then in 52 days, they rebuild the whole wall of a city. I feel like that would be an impressive task even in this day and age. Maybe Warren can tell us, can you build around a city in 52 days? Goes on to say, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. It's like you just keep going. You just keep going on that task, and eventually people will say, wow, this is actually God. This is a God thing happening. And so you just keep on your road. Under Nehemiah's leadership, the Jews withstood opposition and came together to accomplish their goal finally. And God wants to use us. Nehemiah led by example. He gave up his position in the comfy castle or with the king and went and like actually did the hard labor of doing this wall for his people. The book shows us, you know, the significant impact that one person can have on a nation. And it was just about him taking up this task. And obviously he had sort of some sort of leadership ability, but it's like God had obviously prepared him for this beforehand to lead and to do this. And God will have prepared us in our individual capacities to do whatever he's calling us to do. And so it's like less about trusting in our own ability and more about trusting in God, because God is the one who sees how he's created us, who we are in our true selves and our abilities, and what he knows that we can do. Because we can sit there and go, I don't think I can do this, and like have all these excuses about ourselves and how we will fall short. And God just says, no, that's not the story I know about you. This is the truth about you. Go and do this task I have for you. God uses different people for different tasks, different seasons. And so it's just about, you know, we trust God for what he's calling us to do today, tomorrow, for the year ahead, etc., etc. Nehemiah exhibited like a steadfast determination to complete the task, and he accomplished it. And because he stuck to God's plan, he now has a whole, you know, book of the Bible showing just his faithfulness to the task and God's faithfulness to come through. And that whole nation, as you go through the rest of the book of Nehemiah, it's like he turns this whole nation back to like on fire for God, a nation that is like, you know, they're not now just like the exiles who are, you know, depressed and, you know, worried and fearful the whole time. It's like they now are safe and secure and strong in the Lord. They were encouraged and renewed and excited about their future, the Jews. So for us as well, it's like, what is your part of the wall that God is calling you to do? What does he have for you? What is he laying on your heart? And so in the next week or couple of weeks, it's like, let's make that part of our prayer time, our conversations with God, and just go like, God, we're on this new adventure. What do you have for me? And maybe it's not something immediate, and maybe it's something he's going to tell you in a month or two's time, okay, this you're going to do. But maybe it is something that he wants you to start straight away and say, actually, I want you to, you know, start praying for this community. I think for us, that's one thing that I would encourage us all to do. Just start adding, you know, this community, this church, to your daily prayer life, to say, actually, I'm gonna call on God's kingdom in the heavenly realms into this area, and just say, God, we're gonna be a blessing to this community, the TC community, and also outside. In the end, Nehemiah reconstructed the wall, but he always gave the glory to God. He always said that it was God who accomplished the task. And the Jews knew that. The Jews knew that, you know, they were banished by the Babylonians, but it was God who brought them back. And so for us, it's like whatever we feel that we are far away from God, it's like let's just press into God and allow Him to bring us back, that we can not only receive revival in our own hearts, but also to bring revival to those around us. We're going to take communion. Thank you, Leonie. And yeah, it's like if we can just take some time with God and just remember that it's Him who does all the work. Throughout the scriptures, we just see it's God who gave His Son to die for us. It's God who leads us. And I was thinking about just throughout the Old Testament and all those wars and battles that they go through, the people of God, it's always a thing of like whatever God wants happens. You see, the Christian group, whichever group it is, whichever nation it is, it's like if they are walking right with God, they have victory. If they have fallen short or they've sinned or something, then sometimes they had a loss, but it was a loss because it was like a correction. It was a form of like a thing to use, a tool to use to bring repentance to a nation. And so it's just like, oh, then they approach God and like, oh, why did we lose? We have the God of the universe. And then they say, okay, we did this wrong or that wrong. They repent, they turn back to God, and He gives them victory again. And it's like we have victory with God always. And so we trust in that and we go, okay, God, what are You calling us to do? And we figure out the path. But it's God who gives us that victory. It's God who gives us Jesus Christ to save us. So Lord God Almighty, we just thank You that You have plans and purposes for each and every one of us. We thank You that You have good plans that You've prepared since the creation of the world. Lord, help us to just discern those plans and then also just run at them with faith, not getting distracted or not getting disheartened by what others might say or think, Lord, but we just trust in You and we run at this with faith and hope, and we thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for us, for Your blood that was shed for us and Your body that was broken for us, that we can be in true, full relationship with our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray this. Trinity Central, we have a wall to build, and maybe in 52 days, but maybe in a year or 2 years' time, we can look back and we can go, hey, it was hard work and we went through stuff, but we accomplished the goal that God had for us. So let's just live out our faith beautifully. And, trust God for whatever He's calling each one of us to do. Sometimes I feel like as Christians, we're very cautious in this day of age to actually show our faith because of, potential, ridicule or people are getting offended by us. And it's like, no, if we're doing it with a right heart, if we're doing it not because I'm trying to gain people for our church, if I'm doing it because I want to love You and share this good news and share this blessing that I've received, I want to share this with you, then, that's where the fruit lies. When we do things with love, and we're not the gonging cymbals and the banging drums, but we're the hand of God then. So Lord God Almighty, we just thank You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness and Your kindness to us. We thank You for just this new adventure, this wall to be built. Lord, I pray that we would resiliently run with fervor to this, Lord, that You would put in our hearts a passion for what You have for us, this portion of wall that You have for each one of us. I pray, Lord, that You would lay in our hearts what specifically You want us to do. Lord, I pray that we would be able to be Your hands and feet, that we would be able to be salt and light to all those around us. Lord, let Your kingdom come, let Your will be done in us and through us in this community. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.